ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नस्तप्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोकैर् भक्तिर्भावतीनैष्टिकैर्। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, The Creative Impetus, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 2, The Activities of Maharaj Agnidar, text number 7. I'll first read the word for word. Please repeat. Ka tvam chikar shashi cha Kim Munivarya Shaile Maya Asi Kapi Bhagavat Paradevataya Vijay Biparshi Dhanushi Surit Atmanaha Harte Kimva Mrigan, Mrigayase, Vipine, Pramatan, Gatvang Sikar Sisi Chakim Muni Varye Shale, Maya Sikapi Bhagavat Para Devataya, Vijay Bibarshi Danusi Surit Atmanorite King Vamrigan Mrigayase Vipine Pramatan. Ka Hu Tvam Are You Chikarsasi? Are you trying to do? Cha, also, Kim, what? Munivarya, O best of Munis, Shaile, on this hill, Maya, illusory potency, Asi, are you, Kapi, some, Bhagavat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Para Devatayaha, of the Transcendental Lord, Vijay, without strings, Bibharshi, you are carrying, Danushi, two bows, Surit, of a friend, Atmanaha, of yourself, Arte, for the sake, Kimva, or Mrigan, forest animals. Mrigayase, are you trying to hunt? Vipine, in this forest. Pramatan, who are materially maddened. Translation. The prince mistakenly addressed the Apsara. O best of saintly persons, who are you? Why are you on this hill and what do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You seem to be carrying two bows without strings. What is the reason you carry these bows? Is it for some purpose of your own or for the sake of a friend? Perhaps you carry them to kill the mad animals in this forest. Purport. While undergoing severe penances in the forest, Agnidar was captivated by the movements of Purvachiti, the girl sent by Lord Brahma. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kamaistastair Rita Gyanaha, when one becomes lusty, he loses his intelligence. Therefore, Agnidar, having lost his intelligence, could not distinguish whether Purvachiti was male or female. He mistook her for a Muniputra, the son of a saintly person in the forest, and addressed her as Munivarya. Because of her personal beauty, however, he could not believe her to be a boy. He therefore began studying her features. First, he saw her two eyebrows, which were so expressive that he wondered whether he or she might be the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words used in this connection are Bhagavat Para Devataya. Devataya, the demigods, all belong to this material world, whereas Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always beyond this material world and is therefore known as Para Devata. The material world is certainly created by Maya, but it is created under the direction of Para Devata, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mayat Yakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam, Maya is not the ultimate authority for the creation of this material world. Maya acts on behalf of Krishna. Purvachiti's eyebrows were so beautiful that Agnidar compared them to bows without strings. He therefore asked her whether they were to be used for her own purposes or for the sake of someone else. Her eyebrows were like bows meant to kill animals in the forest. This material world is like a great forest, and its inhabitants are like forest animals such as deer and tigers meant to be killed. The killers are the eyebrows of beautiful women. Captivated by the beauty of the fair sex, all the men of the world are killed by bows without strings, but cannot see how they are killed by Maya. It is a fact, however, that they are being killed, butva butva praliyate. By dint of this tapasya, Agnidar could understand how Maya acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word pramathan is also significant. Pramatha refers to one who cannot control his senses. The entire material world is being exploited by people who are pramatha or vimuda. Prahlad Maharaj therefore said, Sochatato vimuka chetasa indriyarta, maya sukaya barang udvato vimudan. They are rotting in material activities for transient material pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification with no attachment for love of Godhead. I am simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Bhagavatam 7.9.43. Karmis who act very seriously for sense gratification are always referred to in the Shastras by such terms as Pramatha, Vimukha and Vimudha. They are killed by Maya. However, one who is apramata, a sane, sober person, a dhira, knows very well that a human being's primary duty is to render service to the Supreme Person. Maya is always ready to kill those who are pramata with her invisible bows and arrows. Agnidar questioned Purvachiti about this. Omagyana timrandasya ginanjana salakya chaksuru militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutle Svayang Rupak Namayam Dadati Svapanantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Rakanatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Svitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Vanshakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasadi Ghora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Katvang chikarsasi chakim muni vayeshale, mayasi kapi bhagavat paradevataya, vijibi barsi danusi surit atmanorite, kim vamrikan mrikayase vipine pramatan. Translation, one more time. The prince mistakenly addressed the apsara, O best of saintly persons, who are you? Why are you on this hill and what do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You seem to be carrying two bows without strings. What is the reason you carry these bows? Is it for some purpose of your own or for the sake of a friend? Perhaps you carry them to kill the mad animals in this forest. So we are landed on the fifth canto. It's a little bit of a controversial canto. It's called the Creative Impetus. Because many chapters describe the universe. This particular verse describes about King Agnidar. If I remember correctly from what I prepared, he will actually have a son, and it's either King Rishab, I think he's the father of either King Rishabdev, or his son will be the father of King Rishabdev. So this was all preceded by this whole pastime with his father, Maharaj Priyavrata. And that was the story that he was actually being preached to by Narada Muni. And we all know what happens if Narada Muni starts preaching to kings. They start to take sannyas. They leave the kingdom. And then Brahma had to intervene. He had to come down, and he had to, well, in one sense you could say, preach to Maharaj Priyavrata that, you know, you should actually get married. And this was all, because I was also reading in my preparation that even today, when there's like marriage cards sent out, then a picture of Lord Brahma is there, because he is always concerned about good progeny, because he is in charge of the universe. And one of his tasks is to populate the universe. So this was all most likely already preconceived by Lord Brahma, that Lord Rishabdev, which is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, would appear. So therefore, if Agnidar's father would not have had him, then, you know, the whole thing would have been, well, you could say inauspicious. You know, it would not be according to Krishna's arrangement. And now King Agnidar is basically kind of the same story, like father, like son. He's also meditating in the forest. So what does Lord Brahma do this time? Of course, he's not being preached by Narada Muni, so he doesn't have to come down personally. But what does he do? He sends the most beautiful apsara, let me get her name right, Purva Chitti. Actually, it's mentioned in the 11th canto that Lord Krishna says, among apsaras, I'm Purva Chitti. So we know the story of Haridas Thakur, then Maya Devi sent to him. So this is practically the same, because first of all, Purva Chitti, she's the best of the apsaras, so that we can only imagine how attractive she must have been. And on top of that, Krishna says, among the apsaras, I'm Purva Chitti. So it's like, it's almost the same as Maya, or, you know, what is it, Mohini Murti. She's like, she must have been amazingly beautiful. So this was, again, Brahma's trick or arrangement to make sure that King Agnidar would produce offspring. So I'll read a little bit about the purport. While undergoing severe penances in the forest, Agnidar was captivated by the movement of Purva Chitti, the girl sent by Lord Brahma. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, kamastata rita gyanaha, when one becomes lusty, he loses intelligence. So this is the famous verse about the demigods. One who are less intelligent, they worship the demigods. And Prabhupada specifically quotes this, kamastata rita gyanaha. Rita means stolen, and gyana means knowledge. One whose knowledge has been stolen by Khan. So from this authoritative verse from Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada concludes, when one becomes lusty, he loses his intelligence. This is a bold statement. I could be a psychologist and I could say when you become lusty, you lose intelligence. So what is the proof? So the proof is given by Lord Krishna. It's Shastra. That is the proof. And of course, you can use your intelligence. That, you know, I mean, I'm sorry to say, but any man generally knows when he becomes lusty, he loses his intelligence. It's an open secret. So, and this is what happened with King Agnidar, that this poor Vachiti was so beautiful that he was just bewildered, and therefore, I think it's Sukadeva Goswami, not sure, he's saying the prince mistakenly addressed the Apsara, so he wasn't thinking straight. So he thought he was a she. Well, he couldn't make the distinction if she was a girl or a boy. Therefore, Agnidar, having lost his intelligence, could not distinguish whether Purvachiti was male or female. He mistook her for Muniputra, the son of a saintly person in the forest, and addressed her as Munivarya. And this is another thing I wanted to explain a little bit, because we're in the fifth canto. Because what I understand, he's meditating somewhere on Jambudvip. Sometimes Jambudvip is referred to as this planet, Earth, but it is also referred to as this kind of higher dimensional plane. It's an island on that plane. And it's the inside of that disk. And on that disk there are different oceans. Salt ocean, milk ocean, liquor ocean, like that. And according to Sadaputta, these are higher dimensional. But where it sometimes gets confusing, I mean, first of all, this whole topic about, you know, the universe, it's a very complicated and also a little bit controversial topic because there's so many different opinions. Where it gets confusing is that the Bhagavatam sometimes they describe the earth and it's like sort of an example of another dimension also. So there's different kind of layers. So it is very important that when we discuss this that we really try to understand what is actually meant with the text. Like I was reading this morning Sadaputta, and he said taking a text literally is also an interpretation. Because like we were reading King Puranjan, you shouldn't take that literally. It's clear. But if you take just one verse and you would take it literally, you would be mistaken. So you have to see everything in the context. So also this specific topic, we have to approach it cool-headed. And one other point I would also like to make, because specifically there's of course this whole controversy about the moon, that there is this one quote, and you can look it up in vaniquotes.org under Bhaktivedanta Institute, where Prabhupada says that we don't say anything more about scientists' opinion about the moon. We leave it to our scientists. And then he mentions Sadaputta's name and also Swarupdhamodara, fortunately. Swarupdhamodara Maharaj, unfortunately. Then he was not yet Swami. Fortunately, he's not anymore with us. But and also Sadaputta, he has also left his body. But they established the Bhaktivedanta Institute. So also Prabhupada, he wrote in a letter that he said, you approach the Bhaktivedanta Institute. So you know, I just wanted to, because all these things will come up in the future, so I just wanted to give you that if you really want to, because what I don't like is that we just read it and then we just sort of, you know, it's not bad to blindly accept it, but we should understand that it's actually true. And we shouldn't be fanatical about it. In the sense that, you know, like I explained, like we just take it literally. Because what is described in the Bhagavatam, it's absolutely true. But sometimes we have to understand how exactly these descriptions were meant. For instance, there's mention in the Bhagavatam that the Himalayas are 80,000 miles. Now, some of the Sanskrit scholars, they say that the people who wrote these books, of course, first of all, they don't believe that these books ultimately are Vedic mantras and they come from Krishna. It's completely transcendental. They just think it's like written down by ancient sages like that. But then they say that these sages, they didn't have a clear understanding of the universe or like that. But you know, you even if you are, let's say, rudimentary sage, you can see the difference between 5,000 miles, which is the height of the Himalayas, and 80,000. So obviously, this 80,000 miles refers to something on another plane, and that's what I've been trying to explain. This Jambudvip, which is where this Agnidar is meditating, somewhere on Jambudvip, could be the Earth, but it could also be some other planet. And that is also explained why this Purvachiti can just come there. Because in those days, because she comes from the heavenly planets. In those days, the heavenly residents, they could just come to the lower plane, you know, which is called the Bhumandal, which is the whole plane. And Jambudvip is the inner circle of that island. So, and that Himalayas mountain is also situated on that Bhumandal disk. And the Earth is somewhere situated around that mountainous area, and the Himalayas that we see here are part of that. So these things, and that's where it gets confusing. There's a Himalaya mountain area here, but there's also a higher Himalaya mountain area. So that's where it gets confusing. And the Bhagavatam sometimes doesn't make so clear that distinction. So I just wanted to give you that information, that because, you know, what led up to this verse, it already gave these descriptions about Jambudvip and the oceans. So I just wanted to give you a scientific explanation that these oceans actually do exist, but it might be on a higher dimensional plane. You can't really see it. So there is an ocean of water. There's an ocean of milk, but it's like it's another kind of dimension. Like there's ghosts, but you can't see them. So like that, you should understand these things. And ghosts also, they have a material body. We understand it from the Vedic literature. So similarly, these are material planes, but it's on another kind of dimension. So he was meditating in the forest, and because of her personal beauty, however, he could not believe her to be a boy. He therefore began studying her features. First he saw her two eyebrows, which were so expressive that he wondered whether he or she might be the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Words in this connection are Bhagavat Pada Devataya. Devata, the demigods, all belong to this material world, whereas Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always beyond this material world and is therefore known as Pada Devata. So that is, of course, very clear. Krishna is Pada Devata, transcendental to the devas. This material world is certainly created by Maya, but it is created under the direction of Pada Devata, Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, mayat yakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. So that means Krishna says that this material energy is working under my direction. All moving and non-moving things are going under my direction. And Prabhupada says, Maya is not the ultimate authority for the creation of this material world. Maya acts on behalf of Krishna. Then the next paragraph, Purvachiti's eyebrows were so beautiful that Agnidar compared them to the bows without strings. He therefore asked her whether they were to be used for her own purpose or for the sake of someone else. Her eyebrows were like bows meant to kill animals in the forest. This material world is like a great forest, and its inhabitants are like forest animals such as deer and tigers meant to be killed. The killers are the eyebrows of beautiful women. Captivated by the beauty of the fair sex, all the men of the world are killed by bows without strings, but cannot see how they are killed. So it is very poetic, actually, this whole Bhagavatam, but specifically this verse. Why are you on this hill? What do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So here you can also see that Maharaj Agnidar was very knowledgeable. He could understand this might be Maya, like we say in ISKCON, you know, this is Maya. He thought, oh, this is Maya. You seem to be carrying two bows without strings. So that is the eyebrows. We're discussing it yesterday about Freddie. So the eyebrows, like when a woman raises her eyebrows or she, you know, blinks her eyes, you know, she gives like an eye wink, then generally, especially when she's very beautiful, no man can resist that. That's why generally in Vedic culture, women are taught to be very chaste. It's explained, as far as I understand from Vedic literature, that in that sense, women are much more powerful than men. They have this shakti, and it has to be contained. Therefore, women are also compared by like fire, and men are like butter. So women, if they would just like hear Purvachiti, because she was ordered by Lord Brahma, she was doing like that. She was moving her eyebrows like that, and then the man, in this case Agnidar, just melted. So therefore, women generally they are advised, they are trained to be very chaste, because otherwise men they could not contain themselves generally. Of course, at the same time, you know, Krishna is called by Bhishma Dev to be the best brahmachari. He was there with so many young girls in the forest, and then he just left. So, and we are in Krishna's line. Huh? We are Vaishnavas. Narada Muni is another super brahmachari. So, you know, it's not that we should take it as an excuse, because this is sometimes done. I don't want to call any names now, but, you know, specifically other religions, they do this. You know, they say, yeah, this woman, she was, you know, asking for it. That it cannot be used as an excuse. Men should be trained as brahmacharis, and they should be like that, very staunch. So both things should be there. It's like a cooperative thing, especially in marriage. These things should be there. Otherwise it becomes a little bit difficult. So these eyebrows, the eyebrows of beautiful women, they are very difficult to resist. And therefore here Prabhupada is explaining that this is what's meant in this verse by Lord Agnidar, that all the men of the world are killed by bows without strings. So these are the beautiful glances of beautiful women, and they cannot see how they are killed by Maya. So this is what Prabhupada quotes. It is a fact, however, that they are killed. Bhutva pralayite. So every, you know, after Lord Brahma sleeps, then everything is destroyed. So we are all captured by this mayic energy of Lord Krishna, and it is like this, yeah, this sex indulgence. The whole material world is basically based on that. Guru Padma also explained it. In the spiritual world, it's called adiras, the original rasa. So it's very, very deeply ingrained in the soul. Prabhupada says because Krishna has this sex desire, we also have that sex desire, but it's misdirected. It should be directed towards Krishna, and then we can overcome it. That was explained by Guru Padma. And it's called Madan Mohan, that Krishna is more attractive than Cupid. That's the only way. And within that statement, the best way, as far as I understand, is to do devotional service. Of course, yesterday evening was very nicely explained by Krunamai that, what is that verse? Yakyanam japo yakya smi. Among yakyas, I'm japa. Japa is very important. But the main thing, Vishnumurti is always stressing this, is just to do devotional service. Because it takes our mind off so many things. Because we'll be thinking about the service. How do I have to do that? How do I have to do that? Like I had to give class. You know, I always get a little bit nervous. There's nothing else I could think about. You see, you get completely focused. And it pushes me also to get more into the philosophy, to get more into studying. So like that, the devotional service, it will push us a little bit. So that is really the great gift that Krishna and Srila Prabhupada gave to us, and that it is how we can overcome. That's why Prabhupada also says that the householder is as good as a sannyasi, because they're also serving Krishna. You see, so that there is no consideration of higher or lower. He said, in this ISKCON, we are all God brothers and God sisters. So once we serve Krishna, then everything becomes... Prabhupada says, for management, we have to do these things, Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana, and these ashrams. But Vaishnav, he is not at all... should not be considered on these material things. So therefore Prabhupada says that, that my householders are also sannyasis. Because like if you look at London, this was started by six Grihastha couples. Guru Das and Yamuna Devi, Shama Sundar and Malati. And... Yeah, Jayananda and the Maharaj. What's his name? He's now in New Zealand. Huh? Mukunda Goswami. Yeah. He was there, no? Yeah, he was there. He was also on the record. He arranged the whole record. Yeah, Janaki. So they started it, and Prabhupada was very proud of it because Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he sent these sannyasis in the beginning, and they had to come back, couldn't do it. And Prabhupada was very proud, I'm sending my grihasthas, and they, you know, they had this news article, Hare Krishna startled London. Prabhupada was so happy. And then they had this Rath Yatra, and it was just such a victory for Srila Prabhupada because, you know, in those days, in the olden days, you know, Prabhupada is from the 2 centuries before, 1896. In those days, London was the capital of the world. In one sense, actually, it still is. Now it's a little bit more like New York. But actually, it still is London. And especially in those days, you know, the British, they had India and Australia. It was still very prevalent. So, you know, it was such a victory for Prabhupada that he was doing Rath Yatra in London. And it was all due to these householders. So, but they were, of course, we know that they were very, very strict. They were only serving Srila Prabhupada. You can look at the memory tapes. They were just so convinced about serving Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. Okay, then we'll try to end the purport. This is the last thing. This is important. I already mentioned it. By dint of his tapasya, Agnidar could understand how Maya acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you could understand that this kind of womanly attraction, that it is just Maya and that it is acting under Krishna's power. And also, of course, we sing in the morning, Sangsara Dhava Nalalita Loka, the material world also, again, it's this Sangsara going up and down, and it's compared to a forest fire. And this is also Bhutva Pralaya, we're going up and down, we're in this forest fire, and unless we get out, unless we surrender to Krishna, we'll just stay here, and then Brahma, you know, goes to sleep or dies, and then again it ends, and then again it starts like that. The word pramatan is also significant. Pramata refers to one who cannot control his senses. The entire material world is being exploited by people who are pramata or vimuda. Prahlad Maharaj therefore said, Socha tato vimuka chetisa indriyartha, maya sukaya baram udvaya vimudan, maya sukaya. Enjoying material energy. Sukh means enjoying maya. Maya sukaya, you should know this. It's very significant Sanskrit. Maya sukaya. You can say maya sukaya, Prabhu. This is, you're just enjoying the material energy. Prabhupada, and this is Prabhupada's translation, they're rotting in material activities for transient material pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification with no attachment for love of Godhead. I'm simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver him from the clutches of Maya. Yeah, so this is the devotee. He is para dukkha dukkhi. When he sees somebody suffering, he is also suffering. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that I am para sukha dukkhi and I am para dukkha sukhi. When I see somebody suffering, I get very happy. And when I see somebody very happy, I'm suffering. I get irritated. So this is describing, Prabhupada says he's describing this, of course, for our benefit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur doesn't really feel like that. But this is, he's describing the conditioned soul. Conditioned soul is the tendency. And Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada says, from all the acharyas, from all the mahajans, he's the best example. So he's giving us the best example how we should approach this kind of forest fire, this mayic world where we live in. Karmis who act very seriously for sense gratification are always referred to in the Shastra with such terms as pramata, vimukta and vimuda. They are killed by maya. However, one who is apramata, a sane, sober person, a dhira, knows very well that a human being's primary duty is to render service to the Supreme Person. Dehinasmin yathadehe komanam jovanam jara tata dehantara praptir. Dhiras tatra namujati. A sober person, he is not bewildered by this changing of bodies. So we have to become dhira. Maya is always ready to kill those who are pramata with their invisible bows and arrows. Agnidar questioned Purvasiddhi about this. He said, they are killed by Maya as long as we are captured by the material energy. And Prabhupada says, even like sports, he says, this is all sex desire. You know, people walking around behind the ball, either men or women. This is just all, you know, subtle enjoyment. So the whole world is becoming mad like that more and more. And it is our duty. We are ordered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srila Prabhupada is inspiring us to help these people, to preach to them. Preaching to them, you know, simply said, it just means to share this Krishna consciousness. You know, we should, because charity starts at home, so we should try to make it very nice here. And then we just ask people, it's so nice here, why don't you come? Like that, and it can be through a book, or it can be through a phone call or a letter. Of course, Prabhupada's best preaching is to distribute a book. But the idea of the book is to make the person a devotee. And generally, to make a person a devotee has to come here. So that's the idea, that we just bubble over of Krishna consciousness and just want to invite people here. I think I should stop there. Maybe there's any question or comments. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.